Amen. Welcome to, here we go. The silence, I'm telling you, they gave me a week off last week, but they come back for a sneak attack on me, and they try to sabotage my show again. But anyway, thank you very much. That's the, Lucifer there helped me, you know. Yeah. Can you talk like Lucifer at all? Actually, a trivia question. That was Jonathan Harris who did the voice of Lucifer. And Jonathan Harris is a big star from Lost in Space, so he did the voice of Lucifer in the original Battlestar Galactica series. So anyway, welcome to Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. And the program, Subject to Discussion, is heard every Wednesday night here on LVRocks.com at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. And my website is subject2discussion.com, and the email is seanomacradio@yahoo.com. And tonight, in a little bit, we're going to have Matt Unger. He's the founder of the American Centrist Party. It's a new third party out there, and he'll be joining us to talk about his party and the future and everything else about his political party. And then, towards the end of the show, a new Battlestar Galactica contributor is... I don't want to use a real name yet. I don't think she doesn't give me permission to use a real name. But her name is Sam's sister, Sam Sis, and she's from Pegasus Galaxy. And she'll join us for a report from the Galactica Convention, which she was at. And then next week, Robert Hayes, the owner and founder of the Blogger News Network, he'll be with us. So it'll be interesting to hear what happened at the convention and everything else. And Matt Unger, it'll be interesting to hear about his new party and where they hope to go. And so as of right now, I'm going to go through the news. What's news to you? Now, if somebody has an item and they want to call in, they can before my guest comes on. It's 702-383-8120 if you want, or you could drop it into the chat room. What's news to you? And we could read it from there as long as it's sourced and it makes sense. Nothing too dirty. I'll read it. So anyway, news to me this week, of course, was something that just happened just a little while ago today. Was the Capitol was evacuated due to planes flying into the no-fly zone around the Capitol. My understanding, I just think this is ridiculous. Shoot one of those planes down, and that will drive the point home. Don't fly within that no-fly zone. This is ridiculous. They all know. They have radar, they have radios, they know they're flying in an area where they can't fly and shoot one of them down, and it'll drive the message home to these people, I think. So, and then we had the 17 troops die in chopper crash. This was in Kabul, outside of a mountainous area in Afghanistan. U.S. says, military says, hostile fire hit aircraft as it tried to land in Afghanistan. So that's horrible. So the copter took direct fire. U.S. military spokesman Colonel James Yance said the helicopter was fired on as it was approaching a landing zone, and all 17 U.S. military officers were killed in the crash. So it's terrible. I mean, I lost a good friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and I know exactly how these people are going through. It's horrible. You know, I'd say we're there now. We got to fix it. Once we break the toy, it's ours to fix. So we own it. You break it, you own it. So when we broke that toy, now we have to own it. So. Ah, Blade Runner got his picture. There you go. I just had to get the cam going, and I did shave and put on my Sunday best shirt, Hawaiian shirt, get the picture taken. So I'm glad you got it. Anyway, nobody's dropped any news. Okay. And also we had the President Bush yesterday gave his speech about Iraq, and he clears the Bush seeks to set clear path forward on war and tries to assure a skeptical nation of need to complete the mission. He went on. And he also made a pitch for troops for enlistments to go up, too. I thought that was kind of amazing. I mean, I was a little shocked how quiet the people were, but that was the military discipline. Apparently they were on orders. It's going to be a somber occasion, not a pep rally or anything like that. So that's part why the military wasn't cheering or yelling, is they're on orders. It was a speech, not a press conference or anything like that. So then we'll move on to what's news that was sent in to me. And this was from Thursday. This is from Susan from Seattle. And she said she saw this on the news Thursday. She said it was news to her. This is from King 5 TV in Seattle, Washington. Warm water in Seattle's ship canal may be killing sockeye. As many as 200,000 sockeye salmon disappeared last year between the Ballard Locks and spawning grounds above Lake Washington. Scientists suspect rising water temperatures could be the culprit. The signs were there early on. Some of this is rambling on. They saw salmon carcasses surface belly up when the water rose in the locks, and dying salmon lay gasping on rocks on the saltwater side. Wow. In my 15 years, there was nothing as bad as last year as far as just seeing dead bodies of sockeye. I only fish anyway, so. But yeah, it's sad to see, I guess. And what else? This is from Kent, from Channel 2 News in Boise, Idaho on Thursday. Growth has brought more people, more cars to the Treasure Valley, and that's the reason why ACHD, Highway, I don't know what that those initials mean, but says there's so many road projects underway around Boise. Some of the areas that will be closed off for the next several weeks include Cloverdale between, I'm not giving the traffic report. This is when we can get the work done, road projects and utilities that are in the road, the sewer, the gas, the electric. So I guess the road project is big news up in Boise. This one is from Friday from Jack from International Falls, Minnesota. Teacher acquitted of drug possession fights to keep job. International Falls, Minnesota, which is up on the border between Minnesota and Canada. A science teacher at International Falls High School wants his job back after being acquitted of possessing methamphetamine, but the school district wants to fire him. Well, if he was acquitted, I don't see why he can't get his job back. It doesn't make sense. James S. Bashkley, 41, was acquitted by a jury last week after a trial in which his imprisoned wife, Rosalie Gillen, testified that she's a meth addict and that he didn't have anything to do with her drug use. Well, there you go. But I wonder if they had a meth lab in the house. How can you not see that? Nothing about a meth lab. So, and what else we have here? Oh, if you're out there listening to the show, you want to join in the chat room, just go to lvrocks.com and click on Cam and Chat to join us in there. So, some new faces have popped in there. I think a couple people from Pegasus Galaxy and some other people from the dilby.com. Someone thanking for sending some listeners to the show. To the program. This is from Delhi, India. So I do have a listener in India, an anonymous. Congress seeks Munde to give his version on Sinha charges. New Delhi. The Congress asked Jharkhand. Oh my God. These names. Mr. Munde convinced nation. I don't know what the hell. Wow. Exhausted reply to replies of corruption and extravagance raised by him by senior BJP leader. So apparently the chief minister is at corruption extravagance in India. So in an interview to a news channel, the former finance and external affairs minister alleged that the corruption in Jharkhand was rampant, especially at the grassroots level, and the governor is unable to check it. There was nothing like governance. Nothing like governance in the state. I don't know what that was rambling. And this is from Antonia in Bermuda, which is an island off of the east coast of the United States, from the Royal Gazette. Governor in market for a new car. Sir John Vereker has been using his second car, Rover 75. Apparently the guy's looking for a new car, so I guess that's making the big news in Bermuda. This is from Saturday. Barb from North Dakota, KMOT-TV, Channel 10 News, Saturday. Trials will begin this fall for the lawsuit against Canadian Pacific Railway over the January 2002 derailment and chemical spill in rural Minot, North Dakota. So, I mean, a few years ago. And then we had this from Trey in Maine. The marine business switches to cleaner fuel. KMTW Channel 8 News in Auburn, Maine. Said the marine business switches to cleaner fuel, which is good. It's about all these businesses should be switching to cleaner fuel, especially to biodiesel. Old Port Marine is the first business in Maine to use biodiesel fuel in large quantities in a marine setting. The fuel can be compared to cooking grease and is made up of natural fats and oils. So I know Willie Nelson, he has a company that has biodiesel fuel. It's all natural. It's all made from grease and oil from food. This one's from Hugh. Hugh in Honolulu, Hawaii. Kauai student arraigned for a machete attack. A 16-year-old Kauai boy was arraigned on Saturday for an alleged machete attack on his teacher. That's lovely. You don't like your grade, just take a machete to her. Former Kauai High School student Andrew Cerrito will be tried as an adult in a Kauai district court in charge of attempted murder and terroristic threatening. Well, he was 15 when he allegedly stormed into a classroom wielding a machete and threatened to kill Timothy O'Rourke last November. Didn't say why. It doesn't say. Probably a grade or something. Who knows? Let's see. And this is from Sunday. A few clues remain to identify shipwreck. This is off of Marathon Key in Florida. A few fire bricks, some lead shot fasteners, pot. What the hell? There are no logbooks from the captain or crew. A ship manifest to artifacts with serial numbers. State and underwater archaeologists are scoring a shipwreck in about 20 feet of water. So apparently some shipwreck off of Marathon Key. is still being identified, what caused it, and identified the ship, I guess. I don't know, it wasn't a very complete news article. And this is from Casa TV News in Albuquerque. A Wisconsin mom gives birth to a baby girl weighing nearly 14 pounds. Wow. They got a turkey. Carve that one up for dinner. Even arriving 3 weeks early, a Wisconsin baby born last week weighed in at 13 pounds, 12 ounces. Wow. How did that baby get that baby out? Her parents have dubbed Delaney Jessica Buzel as a big enchilada. She headed home, I would call her Butterball. She headed home today after being delivered by cesarean section on June 23rd. A nurse says Delaney's diaper and shirt were a little snug and that she had quite an appetite and was ready for a steak. She was more like, I think she's ready for Slim Fast, if you ask me. But and this one came in from Jimmy Diggs, the owner of LV Rocks. Menstruating boy baffles doctors. Baffling medical experts, a 15-year-old boy in West Bengal, India, has been experiencing bleeding akin to menstruation. Wow, this is a nice story. I hope nobody's eating dinner. Many reports on Monday said Tarak, I guess is the kid, who works as a domestic help in Kalna town of Burdwan district, bleeds from his penis in the second week of every month during that time. He often suffers from nausea, stomach ache, mood swings, and other symptoms of the menstrual cycle seen in women. The boy has male organs but has feminine attributes. I wonder if he wears high heels and a dress. This physician who examined him, if tests of his blood samples prove the presence of ovum, this would be a rare medical case. Presence of female functioning in a male prostate gland can cause this type of abnormality. No kidding. He's been experiencing this for about a year, but suppressed news fearing he might lose his job. How old is this kid? 15 years old and working. He is now under the observation of doctors to carry out further tests on him. Wow, a 15-year-old boy with blood coming out of his... lovely. So, and... Mr. Boy. I got that. Everybody's questioning that now. Okay, well, I got that. Diggs dug that up, and he's the owner of the site, so I'm not going to question him. It's from the Hindus... Hindustantimes.com. Menstruating boy baffles doctors. That's the headline that I got. So, and then also we had that slimy bastard, the BTK killer, waves his trial and went through the whole BS of how he killed all his victims and all of them, putting bags over their heads and strangling them. And he told the story of like a family, I guess, and he put the bag over the husband's head and strangled him, and strangled the woman, and strangled the kid. I don't know. And he went towards the kid to strangle him or her, and then the mother woke back up, and he said he gave her the death strangle. So this guy is just nonsense. And listen to him go through, it's like he's teaching a class, and it's not like he's killing dogs, because he used to be an animal control officer. In a surprise move, Dennis Rader pleaded guilty Monday to 10 counts of first-degree murder before delivering a chilling matter-of-fact account of the BTK slayings that terrorized the city beginning in the 70s. This guy used to be part of a church. One-time president of the church council at Christ Lutheran Boy Church and Boy Scout leader, he admitted killing 10 people in the Wichita area between 74 and 91. The self-coined nickname that stands for Bind, Torture, Kill, taunted media and police with cryptic messages. Sentencing was set for August 17th. So he will not face the death penalty because crimes were committed before the state adopted the law for allowing for death penalty. So that's awful. Something like that. Maybe he should be put to death, but I like to examine him and see what caused him to snap like that and do all this stuff. There's got to be something in him that snapped. Maybe it's a chemical imbalance in the brain or something. I've even been saying for years, I don't know if people disagree with me or not, that the government or somehow we should institute an annual mental health examination for every person in the United States. I know it's going to be impossible to do, but somehow they could break the country into thirds, and we have to go through some kind of annual mental health exam, because we got to stop these people before they can pull off these things, and then get these people some help or something. I mean, there's got to be some kind of way we can put an end to this stuff, because we get these maniacs killing these people. You got these kids shooting people up in schools and all this stuff. You got the perverts down there in Florida. So there's got to be something, some way to stop this. So, And then we had the Judge Breyer casts a decisive vote in religious displays. They did the whole Ten Commandments business. Old monuments with commandments are okay. New displays are not. So apparently they're saying if the displays are up, they're fine. If new ones come up, they won't be fine. Which, you know, I was watching on TV how they're not. Nobody knows what the decision is. They're still gonna have to hash this out. So I don't know. And in a nutshell, the effect of the court's two rulings say old religious symbols are okay, new ones are not. By the barest plurality, the court approved historical exhibits of the Ten Commandments on public property. Museum-like setting. Displays that put the Decalogue in a museum-like setting, as Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott repeatedly described it when the court heard oral arguments. Perhaps the best way to look at the cases is through the eyes of just Stephen Breyer. Now, Stephen Breyer, he's having some problems also with the eminent domain issue, because some businessman has said he wants his land, the land where Breyer lives on, to build a hotel on, so we're going to see if this eminent domain business where the government can seize property for the benefit of businesses to improve the area, so we're going to see if this law takes hold or not. So, where else? Then we had the Walmart heir, John Walton, died in a crash. This is from Monday. John Walton, the billionaire son of Walmart founder Sam Walton and a member of the company's board, died Monday in a plane crash in Wyoming. He was flying a plane on his own. What's with these filthy rich people flying their own planes? If I had that kind of money, hell no. I'd have a bunch of pilots flying a plane for me. I'm not going to fly my own plane. I have a couple billion in the bank. Are you kidding? His net worth was $18.2 billion. He was tied with his brother Jim, one spot behind his brother Rob, just to have his sister Alice and his mother Helen in the Forbes most richest people in America. So, and what else? And grizzly bear kills two campers in Alaskan Wildlife Refuge. Officials plan to do an autopsy Monday on a grizzly bear that was hunted down after killing two campers. Why did they kill the damn bear? I mean, the bear killed these people in the wildlife refuge. That's where the bear is from. What the hell? Why is these animals made to pay for something they do in their natural habitat? I have no idea. The dead couple who hailed from Anchorage were found dead over the weekend in their tent pitched beside the river in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Officials have not released the names of the victims, believed to be in the late 50s, early 60s. Initial indicates it was a predatory act by the bear. Of course there was. If somebody's coming and going to break into your house, you'd attack and kill whoever's breaking your house, won't you? So, I guess there. Oh. And we'll bring on Matt Unger from the American Centrist Party. Matt Unger, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Ah, welcome to the program. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
No problem. I was just going through the news a little bit, and for everybody's listening, this is Matt Unger. He's the founder of the American Centrist Party, a new third party that's out. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area.
Ah, now what's the big news down there? Is it the shark attack still, or what?
Yes, there have been a couple shark attacks up in the panhandle of the state. But I think the biggest problem here or issue that we have is also related to the eminent domain. There was a parallel course of the city of Hollywood is trying to grab a building that's been in this one family's their family business for decades now, and they're standing in the way of a big development project. So the city of Hollywood decided that these people needed to go, and that this developer who allegedly made a huge campaign contribution to one of the city commissioners is going to get the job now.
Really? Now,
yeah.
Hollywood, Florida, now, they can build a hotel or something on this land? Or
it's going to be some type of commercial thing, and from what I understand, part of that building has some type of historic value, so this developer sweetened the pot by offering the city to restore part of this historic building, and they, of course, jumped at that.
Now, Hollywood, Florida, it's an old hangout where Jackie Gleason used to do his TV show from, and Burt Reynolds, I believe, still has some kind of a presence down there as well.
Yes, they're trying to make it more upscale and, I guess, urbanized.
Yeah. What do you think of that eminent domain business? I mean, we just had that ruling, and I just mentioned in the news segment that there's some developer trying to go after a land that apparently where Judge Breyer has his residence on to kind of.
I think that's funny.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll let them, because it's ridiculous that these businesses can come in and claim our houses and our land, you know, for their own gain. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, for the average American, for the homeowner, it's not a wonderful thing, because what the Supreme Court just did was erased one line from Article 5 of our Constitution, which I don't know why people aren't up in arms about, because it's a serious breach of the Constitution. And we're losing one of the main tenets of capitalism, and one of the things that we hold dear in this country, and that's private property.
Yeah.
So now there really isn't anything such thing as, you know, private property. It comes to real estate. If someone else wants it and can offer your local government more tax money, then you're out. You're out of luck.
Yeah. Now give the listeners out there a little bit about your background.
Wow. My background is pretty varied, but in the political vein, I started watching politics at the age of 10. Tom Brokaw was on NBC News. And since then, politics has fascinated me. I declared political science in my first year of college. Why I did that, I don't know, but it was something that was interesting to me. And after I got out of college, I went to the D.C. area to try and see about getting into government work and politics. And after a year there, I decided that it really wasn't for me at the time. So I did everything I could to get away from politics and was majorly inactive in politics for a lot of years. And then the next thing I know, I guess it was late last year, that I kind of got disgusted with the way things were going, and I renounced my membership in the Republican Party, and always had been a staunch Republican, voted Republican ever since 1988. But this is the first election where I did not vote Republican. I changed my membership to independent, or as down here in Florida they call it now, no party affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And I voted for Mike Peruca of the Constitutional Party.
Oh, yeah. I try to get him on my show during the election. I just couldn't get him on, but he seemed like an interesting candidate. I had Michael Bednarik on, too, actually the first episode of the show. So it's all interesting. Now, explain to those people out there who aren't familiar with your party, the American Centrist Party, kind of in a nutshell. What is your party?
I started it at the same time that I changed my party membership, and because I'd been looking around, and it's pretty well now known on the Internet now, because I've been kind of browsing to see what's out there, that I've had some dealings with the American Patriot Party and the Independent Party of Florida, and neither of those really floated my boat for one reason or another. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to do it myself. And I started out just on my own, and steadily has been gaining membership, and it's really been snowballing. But to answer your question, the reason I did it was because there's got to be an alternative to the two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working. People voting against a party is not the American way.
Yeah.
We need to have someone with a good idea. We need to have something that is positive, not just voting against someone. And in the works of trying to figure out a way to bring everyone together to do something, whether it's my party, someone else's party, doesn't really matter to me, as long as we all get together and we all do something positive to give this country an alternative to the two-party system, and to give us a better voice in our own government, because in my estimation, our government has pretty much been bought and sold to special interests, to big business, as we now see with the eminent domain issue. It's for the little people like us that work, we pay taxes, we live paycheck to paycheck. Government really isn't for us. We don't really have a voice in our government. Yeah, you can go to the polls every 4 years or 2 years or whatever it is in your locality, and you can vote. But on the grand scheme of things, you're not really changing a whole lot unless you have a few hundred thousand or million to throw at a particular candidate or cause. and that's just not the way it should be. It's not right, and we all need to do something about it.
Well, now give the listeners out there an example of how your party differs from the Democrats and Republicans, say, on the problem with oil. The oil shot up to over $60 a barrel. I mean, what would you propose the solution to this? Or is there
my
a solution?
My personal solution, or my opinion on the whole issue, is we need to reduce our dependence on foreign oil, whether that means looking for alternative energy sources, which we have plenty here. We have a lot of good minds thinking of hybrid cars. We've got the possibility of hydrogen fuel and just possibly lessening our love affair with the huge gas-guzzling engines and huge gas-guzzling SUVs. I think we can reduce our dependence, perhaps look at other exploration in the Gulf of Mexico, other areas of the globe, other areas of our country to find possibly new sources of oil for the short term while we develop alternative sources of energy. And also in the short term, I think perhaps at this point with oil going $60 a barrel, the government needs to start thinking about opening the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
I can't understand why they haven't tapped into that yet, because they put over 500,000 barrels a day into that thing. You know, if this is an emergency, I don't know what else is, you know. But
yeah, that's pretty much my thinking as well, but I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but we have to look at our commander-in-chief who is in the oil business.
Well, as you see in the chat room, Plubius Clodius is saying 80% of our oil reserves come from Canada. Well, I mean, you know, that's a point, too. And same thing with Mexico. Mexico's sitting on a pool of oil, too. I don't know why we don't lean on our good friends in Mexico to pump some of that oil. They're not in OPEC, you know.
That I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a question for our legislators, and I think if we all would get in better touch with our elected officials, perhaps we'd have a real solid answer on that.
Yeah. Now, what are your goals for the American Centrist Party? I mean, where do you hope to be, say, in 06 or 08?
Well, for my personal party, I am at this point trying to raise membership and just get out there a little bit more, get people to know what the party's about. And like I said, I don't care if it's my party or someone else's party, but this government has to turn around. We got to take the country back. We need to give it back to all of us. We need to have a say in our own government, and whether that's of my doing, someone else's doing, or whether we can all somehow get together, meaning third parties, centrist, moderates, whatever you want to call it, title it, we need to have one common voice that tells our present government enough. No more. We need to have some sanity back in the government.
Yeah. Now, you know, you say you're a Republican. You gave up on that. Now, what did you see that? Did you look at the Reform Party, the Libertarians, or the Greens, and say, I don't agree with them, so I'm going to start my own party? Well, what was it about the other ones that you just said, I'll do my own. I don't agree with them.
Well, a lot of the third parties out there, to me, look like they were single issue parties, and no third party is going to get elected anywhere short of maybe a city or county government on a single issue. What I mean by that is, like, you have the Green Party, and they're all for the environment, which is wonderful. I'm for the environment, too. But you're not going to get elected just on one issue. You can't really go too far with that.
Yeah.
And the Libertarian Party, I think it's a great idea. They have some great theories. They have a lot of wonderful ideas, and they're all for civil liberties, but I think they go a little bit too far on the lack of government, the lack of regulation on human interaction. I don't agree with a lot of their policies, and in the past, from what I've seen of the Libertarians, now I can be wrong on this because this is just simply my observation and my opinion, is that whenever they try and get together, their own, I guess, raison d'etre works against them, and that they really can't organize because as soon as someone tries to organize them, they say, whoa, 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 too much regulation. So they really don't get too far. They do have a lot of people elected to local offices, and that's wonderful. I think that's something that all of us should aspire to, is to get more involved in our government, but I don't really see them going State of the White House. I don't see that unless their party changes a whole lot.
Now, actually, I got a question from the chat room. They're asking me about what would you or your party propose about the Social Security crisis that we're being told we have.
Social Security. It's that whole issue is something that is obviously a huge problem, and the system was designed for a time way, way back in our history to solve a problem, and we really don't have that problem a whole lot. So Social Security is kind of outdated, at least in my opinion. The federal government should not be responsible for insuring people's retirement. That's just not something that the federal government should be doing. And people, Americans, should be thinking about their own retirement for themselves. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but I don't want the government responsible for my retirement. That's just a personal issue that I want to be responsible for. And you know what? If I end up without any money for my retirement, I got no one to blame but myself. But under that same token, I'm going to try and do my best to provide for myself, because as it is right now, I'm not going to be able to live on what the government's proposing to give me when I finally retire, if we ever get a retirement age that stays.
Now, about the Iraq, I don't know if you watched Bush's speech last night. What would you do to solve this crisis in Iraq?
Well, I think what we need to do here is kind of swallow our pride a little bit. We need to schedule an exit date for our military forces. We need to go back to the UN with hat in hand, as it were, and try and get a UN peacekeeping force, preferably made up of Arabic Islamic nations, to go in there, keep the peace, so that they know the cultural ideas, and they're, I guess, more of a calming influence than any Western power could be. Get our people out of there, and then see what we can do from afar, so that once there's some kind of order restored there, then they can come to us and say, okay, can you help us with this, that, or whatever it is they need help with. For a lot of people have said, well, we can't just pull our military out of there and create a vacuum there, which is true, which is why we need to have some kind of multinational peacekeeping force in there, and then our special forces teams can go in there and continue training their police, their military forces, because that's one of their primary missions.
Yeah, it's a big mess over there. Like my feeling is that, okay, I agree Saddam had to go and everything, but I think we should have finished what we started in Afghanistan first, captured UPL, and then gone to Iraq, and not steer away. I just think they have to open up everything that we're going through right now. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree. Yeah. And both the government and the media have done a wonderful job of making us forget about Afghanistan. Mm. I think the average American probably forgets that we still have people over there that are fighting and dying on a daily basis.
Well, except today with that helicopter crash that killed 17 over there. So that brought, I think a couple people I was at the gym, and they're saying, we're still in Afghanistan. So I'm like, yeah, we are. Now back to the domestic affairs. Now, Homeland Security, what would you do to resolve that? We just had an issue with, I think today they reported that they stopped two Iraqi nationals from coming across the border from Mexico to the United States. Now, what would you do, and your party do, to strengthen the Homeland Security or our borders?
Well, what we need to do is seal our borders, both at the north and the south, because right now we really don't have border security. People are coming over the border each way in droves, and there's really not a whole lot we can do about it. And part of the solution is bringing our troops home from abroad so that they can concentrate on sealing our borders. Because until we do that, we really can't declare Homeland Security. And we can't have people overseas all over the place if our own country is left unlocked.
Yeah.
That's just something that we can't have happen. And what we need is to have our National Guard or even our regular troops out there on the border, making sure that the wrong sort of people don't come over.
Yeah, but that's my. I've been saying this for years, or even before when I was in the Reform Party, that. Bring these troops from Europe home. I mean, nobody's going to attack Germany. I mean, bring them back here and stick them on the border to back up the border patrol. I mean, it's I don't know why that's so hard to get these people to understand. It's common sense,
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and build a, you know, like Pat Buchanan, he said build a fence and all that. I agree. Put some kind of barrier up so it makes it harder for these people to come across the border, but also have the troops down there as they back up for the Border Patrol. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, the Border Patrol, they do a wonderful job with what they have, but they are undermanned, they're underpaid, and they're under-equipped.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't expect them to do, you know, 110% while we only fund them, like, 45%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then, well, it goes to you know, more question now. How we make it so, you know, that you know, we stop these, you know, I don't know, where do you stand on illegal immigration?
I think illegal immigration is, it's exactly what it is. It's illegal. We need to close the border, and we need to make sure that we need to crack down on the illegal employment of aliens, because what's happening is there people are saying, oh, we need the illegal aliens to do the work that Americans don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is when you bring over these illegal aliens to do all this manual labor, they're being paid sub-minimum wage. These employers are not paying taxes on these people. They're not paying them the minimum wage. Therefore, they're taking work away from Americans who, if paid a decent wage, would be more than happy to do the work.
Mm. Yeah. And, well, I mean, it's just, my feeling is that we'll never get rid of these illegal immigrants that are here right now. So I'm like, fine, let's just take care of the situation from here on out. You know, I'd make all these illegals that are here now legal. That way we can, you know, put them on the Social Security and get, you know, start getting some money into the Social Security and all that. I mean, and rounding them up, I don't think it's going to be impossible to round them all up. They're here now.
No, not at this point.
Yeah, I should just let them, legalize them all, and then concentrate on for, you know, here on to the future. I mean, it's crazy. And then looking at, like, you know, our foreign policy. Now, what would you do differently about foreign policy around the world than what the, you know, the Republicans or Democrats have done or are doing?
Well, the most basic thing is, again, securing your homeland. Once you have a secure base, then you can start going out around the world and seeing where you can help any governments that actually want our help. And what we need to do now is we need some serious fence mending, because from what I've been reading and from what I've been hearing, the United States is pretty much a pariah on the world stage, because of our current administration has just, they've kind of lost it for us, and the whole, you know, if you're not with us, you're against us kind of thing, and they, especially Europe, is saying, well, you know, well, I guess we're against you because we're not with you. And that's just not a good position for us to be in.
Mm.
And now we have, in the Pacific, we have China starting to militarize, and they're starting to crank up their military forces. And a lot of people are speculating that maybe they're going to roll over Taiwan. And, well, what are we going to do about it with no military forces?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, then I say all these other countries, they absolutely hate our country right now. I mean, what about the tsunami business there? I mean, I thought we made some headway with that, you know, given all that money.
Yeah, we made a little bit of headway with that, and it's good PR, but just like anything else, the PR goes away real quick.
Mm.
And just like the press here at home, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, bad news is at the top and the bottom, the good news is always at the bottom or hidden. And even the best stuff is forgotten the next day.
Yeah, now I've seen on your site that about the troops. You agree that they don't get paid enough. I mean, what would you do to attract more recruits? I know we're having problems meeting recruiting levels. I think, although somebody said today that they met some kind of recruiting level at some branch of the armed forces. I think it was like, you know, I think the goal was one, and they signed up two. I don't know, but seriously. But I mean, what would you do to help our military? I agree, they're vastly underpaid. I mean, I think them, the police, and the teachers should be among the three highest paid people in the country. But, I mean,
yes, exactly. Our military has always been underpaid for what they do. They risk their lives on a daily basis, especially these days. A lot of our enlisted people are living on food stamps, which is just, it's not right. You know, these people are going out there, they're leaving their families behind, they're getting shot at, they're getting maimed, they're getting killed. And they're not making a whole lot of money, and a lot of them are living in 1950s era barracks.
Mm-hmm.
And just the state of how we treat our military in relation to what we expect from them is just, it's ridiculous. And when you start putting their salaries up against the private sector, it's just it's new competition, and people wonder why, you know, hey, people are leaving the military and going to work for the private sector. Well, because the salaries are just nowhere near. You know, you have these guys that are working on real cutting edge technology in the military. They get trained, they serve, and they have all this experience, and then some private sector recruiter comes up and says, you know, hey, how'd you like to make $60,000 doing the same thing? And they say, great, and the military loses, and we've lost the money training that person. We've lost that person as a part of the force, and it's going to cost us more time and money to train a replacement.
Yeah.
Just giving them a raise, a very well-deserved raise, will actually save money in the long run.
Yeah. Now, a question in front of the chairman was asking about the vast, you know, cavern now we have in this country between the haves and the haves and the have-nots. You know, what would you propose to, you know, help these people, you know up, you know, instead of giving them a handout, have them give them a hand up, right?
Well, yeah, the federal government really, again, it shouldn't be involved in redistribution of wealth. That's not something that capitalism is all about. But it's got to start at home. It's got to start with the individual American citizen. You got to get involved with the government. You got to find out what your city's doing. You got to find out what your county's doing, what your state is doing. And if you don't like it, you vote them out, or you get on the ballot with an issue, and you support it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the government should not be making sure that you have enough money.
Yeah.
The government should be making sure you have the opportunity to make the money.
Yeah. What about the tax code, our you know, IRS, our tax system? What would you do to correct that, or do you think it's fine the way it is, or whatever?
No, we need a tax code that the average person can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Why we need volumes and volumes of tax code books and yearly updates and accountants and tax preparers. It's ridiculous. It should be something very simple. It should be equitable for everyone across the board. There shouldn't be any tax loopholes for big business. I would be in favor of a modified flat tax because it's more or less equal for everyone because we don't want to penalize success, but then again, we don't want to tax people right out of existence.
Yeah, well, I've always said I like the idea of a flat tax, and I've always said get rid of the Social Security tax, because that way everybody will get a 12% raise right off the bat,
right.
and I instituted a national sales tax in there to recoup some of that, or all that, or get rid of the tax, IRS altogether, and just have a national sales tax take care of everything.
Well, what I think should happen is the people of each state should be paying income tax to their state, and then the states should be paying their share of the national burden to the IRS. So the IRS becomes basically a very small office that only services 50 states and the territories. And that way, the federal IRS has very little to no contact with the average American citizen. And we only have one level of government that we have to pay taxes to. As it is, some people are paying taxes to three or four levels of government, and that's just crazy. Because I know I used to live in Pennsylvania, and I knew people that worked in Philadelphia. So they were paying city tax, they were paying a state tax, they were paying a federal tax.
Mm-hmm.
And if they worked, say, in Delaware, right across the border, they're paying a fourth tax to Delaware. And it's something that it shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't be working to pay your taxes.
Yeah, I mean, you work until, I forget what date it is now, to pay your taxes, and then everything supposedly after that's yours, but you never hit with all these fees. Like I said, I keep saying that about the gas tax. I think it's 18 cents for the federal gas tax. They hit you with all these small little things. I mean, there's got to be some solution, because, the everyday people everybody's suffering. These gas prices are through the roof. I mean, it's crazy, and neither one of these parties are addressing it. They're all busy worrying about, the flag getting desecrated or, this nonsense, and they're not addressing the issues.
We got bigger problems than worrying about, one or two guys wearing a flag.
Exactly. And then they get bogged down in the Chavo mess and all that. It's because they won't address the issues at hand. They won't address the Social Security problems. They won't address, and then the worst problem is the Medicare and Medicaid. That's in a bigger mess than the Social Security,
Exactly. Well, again, it all comes down to getting involved in your government.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like what your government's doing, change it.
Yeah, I mean, it just boggles the mind that they get involved in all this nonsense, and they pass some kind of a proclamation about the that they didn't apologize for whatever hell it was, tar and feathering, or whatever hell it was years ago. I mean, what is that going to do for what happened 30, 40 years ago? Why are you wasting 2 days of debate on stupid stuff? You know, get to the matters at hand, for crying out loud. You know.
Right. Well, that's whenever you get stupid issues like this bogging down our government. That's basically a big red flag telling the average American citizen who's watching this or listening to this that the government is basically trying to blindside you. They're trying to put one over on you by not dealing with the issues at hand, the serious questions that we really need to have answered, the problems we need to have solved. And we're worrying about people burning flags. We're worried about what Michael Schiavo did 15 years ago or what he didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just again, it's irresponsible of our government, and we need to take back our government. We need to empower the average American, and that all comes down to getting involved, knowing what your politicians are doing. And if you don't like it, you get involved, vote them out of office, you run for office, and that's one of my new, I guess, battle cries is get involved in your government, because 2006 is coming up, and I can tell you right now that here in Florida, there are a lot of districts which are uncontested. There's one person running for office.
Hmm.
And if that keeps up, that person is just going to walk right into office unopposed.
Yeah, it's sad.
And even if you have, you know, one average guy that says, you know, hey, I'll oppose you, then that guy's got to work that much harder, and he's got to prove that he really deserves that job.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs, I think, that, you know, like I said, I've been, you know, in the Reform Party. I was one of the founding members of it here in Vegas, and in Unite We Stand America. And I've kind of been pulled to the left on this stuff and to the right. Now I hope I'm getting back to my sensible center, you know what I mean?
Right.
And because, you know, the common ground, I think there's a poll, there's like 58% of the United States, of the country is in the middle. You know, I wish somehow we could all kind of, you know, take the best of one and the best of the other and put them together and get the, you know, the Sue Floyd, it's the United States, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's pretty much what my goal is with getting involved here with the politics and with the ACP is I want some way, like I said, whether it's my party or someone else's, it doesn't matter. But if there are 58% of people who are in the center, if all those people had one common party that they could vote for, you would see our big two major parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, they'd be shaken.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what should happen.
Yeah. Well, man, Unger, I'm going to let you go. Almost out of time here, but I do appreciate you coming by for a nice little talk about your party.
And I appreciate the opportunity and hope everyone stops by the site or at the very least get involved in your government.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that was, thank you very much. That was Matt Unger, the founder of the American Centrist Party, giving us some insights about his party and how he views the world matters. And we'll be getting a call in a few minutes here from Heidi. Oh, AmericanCentristParty.com is his website. And hopefully Heidi, I gave her name out. I guess I wasn't supposed to, but Sam's sis from Pegasus, maybe she won't call in now, from Pegasus Galaxy, supposed to call him at their news from the, there she is, from the Battlestar Galactica convention just recently. And so hopefully we'll get her on and we'll talk to her about what's going on, what happened there, what stood out, what didn't. She did post a lot of pictures up at Pegasus Galaxy of, Jamie Bamber and somebody else. Jamie Bamber's wearing some kind of odd shirt he got at a Japanese convention and all this stuff with his shirt on. I guess people have been saying he should take his shirt off or something. But I saw a picture on there with who else was on there? He had a picture. She had a picture on there with Katie Sackhoff and everything else. So anyway. Before we get to that, we'll give out the news about who actually turned down the role of Commander Kane on Battlestar Galactica. Of course, we had the news, that the Pegasus, the 10th episode of the first half of the 10 episodes we're getting in the second season is going to be titled Pegasus. And anyway, the character is going to be an admiral, and it's supposed to be, they want to get a woman into that role. It's going to be admiral. So this admiral is going to be over Adama, and apparently the so then. this Admiral Kane's going to go through the Galactica's records out and see how much craziness has been going on in that ship. And apparently she's going to put Apollo and Starbuck over on the Pegasus, and all hell is going to break loose, apparently. And then at the end of the episode, apparently the two ships are going to be aimed at one another, the Pegasus and the Galactica. And so then the Pegasus supposedly is going to be a Mercury-class battle star. So anyway, the person who actually turned down the role of Kane is Jane Seymour, who was on the original series as Serena. She turned down the role of Adama. And apparently now they're looking at Linda Carter to play Commander Kane, Victoria Principal, Susan Lucci from All My Children. Definitely not her. She's too short to be pulling off that role. I like to say Linda Carter or Victoria Principal. Linda Carter would be the first choice to do it. But and then also I read somewhere that there David Soul's being considered from Starsky and Hutch. So I guess if they can't find a woman they like, they'll go for a man, Admiral Kane. So anyway, I think Heidi, Sam Sister's on the line.
Attention.
There you go. You there?
Think that the humans remain entertained until the end.
There you go. Sam Sister is joining us.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
I think I blew your cover.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, okay,
no,
sorry. All right, so now you're at the convention. Now tell us, how was it? What happened that you didn't report on Pegasus Galaxy?
What have I reported so
no,
far?
Well, no, what happened that you may have not reported?
Oh, well, like, I'm really behind. Writing all my notes up, so I've got quite a bit of stuff that I haven't
really
talked about.
What surprised you?
They talked a lot about the physical stunts they were doing. That's kind of fun. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Hmm.
People were asking. They were curious. So how much do fans want to hear about that kind of thing?
As much as you want to say, I guess.
It was interesting that every one of them talked about some fight that they had to do with each other, and that they had done a lot of training to do those fights. And
really?
They all had stories about, like, the scene where Starbuck and Apollo are hitting each other, she actually hit him in the nose, and he actually had a cracked nose and was bleeding and everything, and they couldn't even use the take because she started laughing, and they had to start all over anyway. So
really?
Things like that had happened.
Who's the nicest one to you, did you find?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Who's the nicest one to you from the cast?
Oh, they were all so nice.
Really?
I was really taken with Jamie in particular. I didn't know what to expect. And he's so different in real life because he has this British accent. He's very charming, very soft-spoken, and very sweet.
Mm.
But I adored Mary. I'm 42, so I kind of am a different generation, and I just really adored her in Dance with Those Wolves. And she just has that real soft-spoken way of talking, and she's, very sincere. She was really neat, too.
Mm.
But don't get me wrong, they were all great.
Really?
Katie was really, you really felt like she was a neat person and down to earth and straightforward. And so was Trisha. She was, she seemed more aloof in appearance, but she was really a down to earth kind of person.
Really? Now, did it give away any surprises coming up in the second season? Or?
Well, if I'm allowed to say those.
Go ahead.
A little bit. Katie talked about this episode called The Farm. I think it's the fifth episode. She says she spends the entire episode in a hospital-type scene where she has to, cry the whole day long, and she just said she was, totally emotionally drained by the end of the day.
Really?
And there were some, hints about a baby, although I think she might have been trying to throw us off track. So,
really?
So
you think she's pregnant?
She said she's definitely not going to be pregnant in this episode, as her character, that is, in this season. So that was something somebody asked about, this baby thing that was going on. Let's see, what other spoilers did they mention? Jamie talked about his role as Apollo and how at this point he's really very much alone as a character, but that he's not regretting what he's done, that his character has to kind of deal with the consequences, but felt he did right, that kind of thing. So I guess they're kind of taking off on that a little bit, the character.
Did they say anything about Kane?
I'm sorry?
Did they say anything about Kane?
Mary hinted that another strong character was going to come in, and that she didn't say the name Kane, but that was the impression I got when I started reading spoilers again this weekend, that somebody they brought, I suppose they haven't cast that person yet.
Not yet.
The script.
Yeah, I've been reading that. They've been Koenig Rules, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he gave me the thing that Jane Seymour turned down the role. Oh, and actually they're also looking at Kate Mulgrew to do the role as well.
Great.
Yeah, so being kind of a nod towards Star Trek, they bring her on to play Kane, I think.
I think either one of them I think Kate Mulgrew, based on the spoilers I've read, sounds like she'd be really good.
Yeah. And anything, who else was there? Was Aaron Douglas there, or?
No, he wasn't.
Really?
That was neat to see him there. I actually met him last summer at the Comic-Con and talked to him a little bit.
He's a nice guy.
It was just in passing. He was hanging around the sci-fi booth.
Yeah. And then who else was there? You said Trisha Helfer?
Bear McCreary, who's the composer for the current series, and Stu Phillips, who's the composer for the old series back in the 70s, 80s.
Oh, that'd be interesting, huh?
Yeah, and but very interesting. I thought it was interesting that they, Bear McCreary was talking about how everybody's like against themes. That's like a dirty word these days in writing for TV and movies, but that ultimately he starts writing little themes and slipping them into the music, and then people start asking him, oh, we need Hilo's theme. Uh-huh. And he's like, ha-ha, you like themes.
Yeah, it does seem. Well, because in the original series, did they really hit? Yeah, I guess they did. Adama had his own theme, kind of, and some. And the Cylons, of course, had their own theme. So, yeah, it makes sense. I mean,
right. Well, it was more allowable back then, but apparently now that's kind of not the direction they were trying to go. So he really wanted, the producers really wanted something different with this music. So McCreary's been allowed to go totally his own direction with it, and he says there's really nothing that they come back at him with, oh, I don't like that, do something else. It's usually they like it a lot, or they kind of give him a lot of free rein, and he's really loving it.
And it was Edward James Olmos?
They all, yes, people asked them all about it, and they all had really positive things to say about Olmos. Jamie mentioned, you know, he's an interesting kind of a guy because he's very firm in his beliefs and really state his mind, you know, about what he thinks should be done in a scene, that he kind of sets the tone, the professional tone for the whole set. But that, you know, he's just like a father figure, and he's really nice and he's good to work with. And Mary mentioned him, you know, admiring him in the sense that he does a lot of work for Latinos, and he always says yes to whatever cause asks him to go do something. So, you know, she really admires his political work. And yeah, Katie mentioned that too, that working with him, she feels like she is her own character and that he is the character, and she feels it so real that he just makes it so real. Like in that one scene when she had to tell him that she felt bad that she had killed Zach. You know, she thought almost was going to hit her. That's how intense the scene was with him.
Yeah, well, like I've always said, when all the cast members were on, I said, you're all your characters. Like some of these shows, you can see they're going through the motions, but they are their characters. I mean, it's odd. Like they take on their whole, you know, persona.
I agree. I felt that was the one thing I was impressed with the whole weekend. All of those people, I mean, I knew they were intelligent, but they were so thoughtful about their characters and the whole meaning of the story and all. And you know, they each said something about getting into their character. You know, like Katie said, she gets so intense that she has to tell her family and friends, give me a half an hour after the day's over, because she has to get her mind back, you know, and get back into the real world or something. And
Mary
talked about the political nature of her role and how upset she got that her character went and chose Baltar for the vice president. You know, that, how could she do that? And then the writer said, that's politics, you know, and she said, actually that's right, you know, so they really are into the storyline and the character. You know, I thought Katie, it was really neat, she had so insightful, she said, the big question of the story, what is it to be human, or, you know, who is human, is it us, is it the Cylons, because there's such a merging of all that in the storyline. So I just thought, wow, they're really into the characters and the story.
Yeah. Now, did Mary McDonnell hint anything that they're going to kill off her character at the end of the season, because they say her health's going to deteriorate rapidly?
Mary talked about that a little bit. She said she doesn't know. They're not telling her how bad her character is going. At least she didn't say it at this con, but that she's really interested in knowing that. And from the perspective that her own mother died of breast cancer, and apparently the character's mother died of breast cancer, she's sort of paralleling it and had to ask herself, you know, how am I going to play this, knowing from the get-go that I'm a dying person? You know, am I going to be cured somewhere along the line, or you know, what stage is my disease at, and how can I play this with sensitivity, you know, the reality that someone really might go through without being so depressing that viewers are going to, you know, be sad and not want to watch it.
Yeah.
So it's a very real thing to her.
Now, any one more big piece of nugget of news before we let you go, because I see my time's almost up.
Oh, okay.
Anything big?
Anything big?
Briefly?
No. Oh God, I don't know.
Well, I can bring back next week.
Katie said that they were asking about her, about Boomer, what she was going to do about Boomer, and she said that she's gonna. I'm sorry, I can't say it on radio. Probably she's gonna kill the bee.
Wow, kill the bitch.
Her,
you mean?
Character is so torn because she loves her. They're supposed to be best friends. That's in the backstory, but that.
Well, very good.
I don't know if she meant that literally or not, but she obviously wants to as a character.
Well, Heidi, we'll let you go because the show's out of time. So I think I'll bring on next week. If anything else, we'll bring on. You can finish up the dialogue, okay?
Okay, right. And I'll be posting the rest of my write-up on PegasusGalaxy so people can come see it.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that was Heidi, and she's Sam's sister on PegasusGalaxy.com. And next week, like I said, it'll be Robert from Blogger News Network. And next is the Sobloft and Power Hour. And then Friday, actually, of course, Daily Noise is Monday through Friday. And then Friday, Smake Wagon's doing the best of. And then King Hesh. And Sunday is Tap Out to live our reactions from the pay-per-view from Vengeance. Anyway, subject number 2, discussion.com, and email is seanomacradio@yahoo.com. And good night. Have a pleasant tomorrow.